Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're here in Arkansas. At least we have survived the snowstorm. I don't know if you heard anything about it on the news or not, but it was totally unexpected on the first day of spring. We were in the 70s, and then all of a sudden this front moved across the country, and they said it started dumping snow in New Mexico. And by the time it got here, in one day, the temperature dropped from 70 down in the 30s, and we ended up with a whole foot of snow.
Over a foot. We had 14 inches.
14 inches, and it was the worst that it's been during the whole winter season, so we didn't know what was going on. Of course, it looked beautiful, but it was really piling up. And then the next day, it took it another day or so before it began to melt. Then it went up to 70 again, and it just disappeared real quickly. But everybody said, that's crazy, the first day of spring, and here we got all this snow burying us. So the weather is strange out there, and it's a lot of strange things happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, before I bring my guest on, I want to give out the toll-free number in case anyone wants to call in and ask questions. And if you do want to call in, I would like you to stick with the topic that we're talking about with the guest rather than asking me questions. Let's try to figure, stick with what she's talking about. The toll-free number is 1-888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. And as I said last week, our company, Ozark Mountain Publishing, we're getting ready to have our annual conference in June. And so from here until June, I'm doing for my guests, I'm interviewing the authors that we have published and that are going to be speakers at the conference. Julie, you tell them the dates and everything about the conference.
No, the conference is June 18th to the 20th, and it's in Rogers, Arkansas. And we're in a bigger and better venue this year. Each year we just keep getting bigger and better. I think we'll be able to stay here because this is a fantastic place. And
they said it's the biggest venue
in
the whole state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're going to outgrow it anytime soon.
Right. I think we can stay here a while.
Okay.
So and then you can get more information on ticket sales or anything. You can get that information on our website, which is www.ozarkmt.com, or you can call our office at 1-800-935-0045.
And, every year we have terrific keynote speakers, and it's just getting bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Because last year we had Helen Reddy that we brought from Australia, the former singer. This year we've got Lindsay Wagner. That's right, folks, the Lindsay Wagner, the bionic woman.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of these people, as they've gotten more secure in their professions, their careers, they're not afraid to come out anymore and tell people that they've really been in metaphysics for many years. So she's going to be there, and it's going to be really interesting as she does her workshops. Also, another keynote we're going to have is Danyon Brinkley. He's been on my show, and a lot of you know him. He's a man who died three times and lived to tell the tale, and they made a movie about his life and his experiences. That it was Eric Roberts was the one who played him in the movie.
All right, we're working on getting copies of that movie to have available at the conference.
Mm-hmm. And he is one fantastic guy. So he's going to be one of the speakers. And then we're also going to have Sherry Edwards, who was on the show just a few weeks ago, who's a pioneer in sound healing. And she's made groundbreaking discoveries, and she's going to be there. So we're going to have a lot of really good speakers, and we said it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah, if you want to experience fantastic energy, I mean, we're going to be the center for energy, that's for sure.
Okay. So as I said, all of my guests are going to be those who are going to be speakers. So my guest tonight is Irene Lucas. We have published her book. It's called 30 Miracles in 30 Days. And Irene Lucas is joining us from Colorado Springs. Okay, Irene, you're there, aren't you?
Here I am, and thank you so much for that lovely introduction, and I am so delighted to be on the air with you, Dolores.
Okay, because you were saying you had snow out there, but that's normal this time of the year for Colorado, isn't it?
Yeah, we had some on the first day of spring, the likes of which none of us have ever seen. And I'm looking out at a gorgeous snowfall right now. I can say that because I also am not going to have to go out and shovel the driveway. My husband's going to do that. But it is breathtaking, I will say. It's very breathtaking.
That's what we liked. It was just so beautiful. It was about over a foot of snow is a lot of snow, and it was really beautiful. I was just glad that I didn't have any clients, because I have to get out, you know, and we couldn't get out that day.
No.
But it makes a difference. It makes a difference, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, Irene, I know you have written this book, 30 Miracles in 30 Days. But what I want to start with is to ask you about yourself. I want to know about your background, you know, where you came from and how you got into all of this.
Well, you know, Dolores, it's been a very interesting path, and I think that perhaps one of the reasons that I was given the gift of writing this book was because I am an unlikely person to do it. And I can say with 100% authenticity and honesty, if I can do this, if I can connect to the divine, if I can co-create miracles with these simple five steps, anybody can do this. I always say, if it's possible for me, it's possible for everyone. All you need to have is the ability to breathe and to have a pulse. And with those basic...
I think most of the people listening do have those two qualifications.
Well, there you are. So what that means is that we are all... have the spark of the divine within us. We're already connected, and we just need to realize it. Now, for me...
First, I want you to tell me about yourself.
Well, I am an Army brat. Spent most of my young life either in Fort Sam in San Antonio, Texas, and then moved to Santa Barbara, just north of Los Angeles, which is a beautiful little community tucked right in between the soft rolling hills and the ocean. And I was lucky enough to find the love of my life there, and I married, and we have two wonderful sons. Now, one of my sons, and they're, you know, I always say modesty is my only flaw when it comes to my children. One of my children has autism. And he sees the world through a different lens, I think, than the rest of us do. And in the course, and Dimitri just had his 31st birthday, and Alexander is my other son, who is 28. Now, in the course of trying to find some kind of benefit to Dimitri, because autism is, in fact, a mystery, I had always been... conscious of the presence of Jesus in my life, of the presence of angels. But I had never thought of really asking for direct help in a very material way. And so I started asking for some kinds of therapy, some direction, some awareness to help Dimitri to sort of focus more into the world that we're in, and to live a fuller life. And what started to happen was I would start seeing these miracles literally moment to moment. I would get up in the morning and I started doing what we call scripting, which is simply writing down the day as which in your heart's desire, as if it's already happened. So, you know, thank you, Jesus, I found a therapist today. You know, thank you, I found a wonderful teacher today. I found a wonderful community buddy. And then what would happen? The phone would ring. Irene, I was thinking of you. Did you know about so-and-so? Do you think you should give him or her a call? and this became sort of a regular thing. But I think the thing is here, Dolores, that I always also had the sense that I needed somebody else to connect to the divine for me. And so I went to meditation circles. I went to circles where there were people who were conscious channels and so forth. And I would sit there and think to myself, what a cool thing that must be. And I have to tell you, I probably was well into my early 30s, and I'm double that now. And anyway, and at the time I would look at this and I would think, it must be so cool to be able to do that. And then I started to get these very powerful senses that, you know, everyone is able to do that, and you are, and we would like you to write this book.
Uh-huh.
And to say that I was astounded, and I really, you know, would say, are you kidding? Are you serious? Are you sure you've got the right girl? I am a writer, but who channels? Not me, you know. And anyway, so does that sort of give you a sense of the path? And so here I am in Colorado Springs. I moved here and with my family, and I'm just thrilled to be here. It's just a very, very different life here. We have four seasons. And I love sitting upstairs looking at the Rockies and receiving, divine inspiration and divine messages. And so that's sort of pretty much where I am. Did that answer your question at all, Dolores?
Yeah, that's what I always want is the background first.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you're saying, you were always thinking you have to go to someone else and find somebody else to do these things for you. See, that's very much the way the church has always taught people, too. You have to go through someone. You can't do it for yourself. And we know you can do it for yourself. Once you understand it, we have tremendous power.
That's actually the entire, that's the entire foundation of 30 Miracles in 30 Days, is that no one else has an inside track. We all are equally able to connect to the divine, and in fact, pretty much already are. Some of us may have different levels of awareness of that, and we just need maybe to clear the static in the line a little bit. But I agree with you. I think we've all been taught that there needs to be a middleman.
You always have to have an intermediary and stuff.
Exactly.
But when this information first began to come, was it just coming through meditation as, voices, feelings, intuitions, or,
you know,
automatic writing? How was it coming?
It was very very intense awareness. So I never really heard a voice. I used to be, and I'm sorry to admit it, but I have to, you know, very envious of people I'd be walking along with, and they'd say, wow, did you see the aura? Did you see the colors around that person? And I'm like, no. No, I didn't.
I can't see colors either. I can't see auras. I can't see anything like that. And so I'm like, man, I'd like to do that.
But you know, Julia, what that means is we're still equally gifted. And differently gifted, but still.
I have other things. I just don't see those things.
Yeah, and but to tell you the truth,
I used
to get annoyed. You know,
yeah.
So when you say, how did I first receive this information? I have to say the first was a friend of mine who was a divine channel who came to me and said, Irene, there's something you need to know, and here it is. And so. From various divine masters, I was given this message. And I think the reason was so that I could really confirm the information that I already was receiving. So when I get this information, I have this awareness, and I hear the words, Dolores, and the phrases, but it is in almost a conversational way. It is not, though, hearing, for instance, Archangel Michael's voice. I hear it in my own voice. I just the awareness comes, and then I often need to ask for clarification, which I always receive as well. I don't know. Is that a clear answer, Dolores? Is that helpful?
Well, that's what I wondered. Some people say they begin to hear voices. Other ones get it through automatic writing. There's all different ways that it comes to people. One woman said, well, even Julia says this, when she hears it on the one side of her head, that means it's them, and when it's on the other side of her head, it's her.
Well, when I first started getting messages, it's like one of the first things I want to know is, like, is this you, is this me? I wanted to discern what it was and where it was coming from, making sure it wasn't my own ego. And
Or imagination,
whatever, hopeful thinking, things like that. And so they kind of was doing, I was like, well, when it's over, it'll be us over here, and if it's you, we'll put it over here. It's like they created places in my head for me to hear the different things. And so
I wonder if I should have made that request. I'm sorry, go ahead.
But a woman I had yesterday said she shared it the same way on one side of her head.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I just wondered, everybody gets it different ways.
You know, that's true, Dolores. And the other thing is, in my experience, the Holy Masters also arrive in different ways. And one of the big points that I make in the book is, if you have physical sensations when you are using the Holy Masters and the Holy Rays, that's terrific. If you do not have those physical sensations, it's an equally healing experience. It's
mm-hmm.
just absent the physical sensations, but it's not less effective.
Well, and it could be, okay, when I was learning energy work, you know, the energy is there all the time. I just didn't know how to feel it. And once they showed me how to feel it, how subtle it is, then you recognize it, so then you get more attuned to it. So I wonder if it's just, you know, it's there, you just don't know how to feel it or don't know what to feel yet. So, you know, it's not that you're not feeling it or not noticing it, you just don't know what the subtlety of it necessarily.
I'm sure that's part of it. And I know, for instance, in my experience, which may be different from other people's, I can feel Mother Mary or Lady Kuan Yin through my heart area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel a certain heat through my heart. Archangel Michael, you know, sort of through the right side, through the head, through the shoulder. And Archangel Raphael, this sort of expansion. And then we have a meditation with Jesus and the cosmic Buddha together, holding hands, and then I, for instance, would put out my left hand and my right hand so that I form a complete circle with Jesus and the Buddha. This is very good company to keep. So, and you know, in that case, you feel this tremendous warmth everywhere, and you really feel the energy. So I think you probably have something there, that the more attuned you become, the more aware you are, maybe, of where the energy, how the energy is coming.
Well, and I was wondering, it's interesting you're talking about Archangel Michael. In one of Mom's classes, it was in New Zealand. It was the last one we had there, and there was a couple there that had just completed a Doreen Virtue workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and they came over to me at a break, and all of a sudden, I mean, this energy was like right. It was interesting that you said that, on the right side of me. It was huge. I mean, I was in awe of it. I've never felt anything like that. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I almost wanted to bow down. It was so huge.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, and I just kept going, oh my gosh, what is that? What is that? And they're looking at me, and I'm just like, it's something huge. Well, then the man said, oh, that might be Archangel Michael. I do a lot of work with him. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. It was on the right side. When you said that, that's exactly where it was. So,
yeah,
he was following them,
he was,
I guess.
Yeah, he was, apparently he was with them.
I always like to think of that as coming in on the right side, because then that leaves him room on his own right to have his flaming sword, which is a wonderful image for me,
okay,
too.
Okay,
I can't say that's a fact, you know, but I love that. I love that idea. And it's so amazing to me now, Julia, that you had this experience not knowing how to say, isn't that amazing?
Yes,
really,
I know.
Wonderful.
And then when they told me that, and then it happened one other time with someone else, And I had forgotten. I mean, it was just like I was going, oh, my goodness. I was overwhelmed again with this energy. And it was another person said they do work with Archangel Michael. I'm like, oh, I remember now. I remember that energy. And so,
okay.
And it was like twice in exactly the same way, but it's huge. And they said, yeah, he's like 14 feet tall or something. I'm like, I just know it's big.
Yeah, you get that sense. You get that sense right away. You know, Dolores, I will say, I have had a couple of experiences that are coming to mind where I really have heard divine voices talking to me, and they have been in moments in my experience, in moments of what felt like real despair. My husband is just a wonderful, wonderful person, and he has recovered from cancer. But during the time that we were approaching that and considering the various paths and so forth, we were getting very negative messages and information from the physicians. And I do remember sitting there in a waiting room and just, you know, crawling out from this radiologist emotionally on my hands and knees, you know, because he painted an incredibly bleak picture. And anyway, sitting there and just saying, Jesus, what? And then hearing this voice, you know, saying, approach this with this, this, and this, and move forward, and you are not alone, and we are with you, and that you're doing well, and just, you know, very encouraging. And I think that's one of the times that I really have heard physically almost a you know, where you have a sense that there is somebody right next to you, that if you turn around, you would look at them, and they're talking to you. But that's sort of unusual, for me.
Uh-huh. But, you know, I was just thinking that a lot of people out there, even if they read your book, they're saying, how do I know that this is really them, or is it just my imagination? Maybe they're already getting messages, but they think, well, it's just their imagination.
I think the answer to that question is to, because that's a reasonable doubt to have. It's a reasonable question to have, for sure. And I think that there are two things. One is their own personal authenticity, because we have five steps. So, you know, basically, for instance, for someone who's looking to pay the rent check, might choose out of the 30 rays to use Archangel Raphael and the Emerald Green Ray of Abundance. Now, and so they would go through these five steps in the book, and they're very quick. The holy breath, you create a sacred space, you have clarity of intention, you envision and invite the divine, in this case Archangel Raphael, the green light of abundance, and then you sit back and you allow it. You don't force it, compel it, will it, make it happen, control it. You have to allow the miracle. And I think the answer to that question is, if they have questions about what they're imagining or what their true experience is, I think that let's look at the results. Let's look at the results. Let's look at the, because I say these simple steps equal easy access. And I think we're trained for everything to be incredibly complicated. And let's just look at the results. What happens? You know, what's going to happen? Is there something going to happen with that bank account? Is a job going to come forward? Is a bill going to be delayed? I mean, there's just incredible number of miracles that can manifest, which are responses to the, you know, which are the miracles that this person may co-create. Mm-hmm. So
I think we've got a little ahead of ourselves there when you started talking about the color rays.
Mm-hmm.
But first, let's talk about these five steps, and then we'll get into the color rays.
Okay.
You said, like, create your, just explain this to people. If you're, whatever you're wanting or desiring, what's the first step?
Well, I would say that each person, each of us has a number of heart's desires. I mean, authentic, true desires in our heart. And so, you know, the ideal would be if you have time, if you have a little space, you know, it can be the corner of your couch in which you create a sacred space. But I also say that this can be done in your car, in traffic, in front of your boss as you're getting yelled at, you know, standing in the supermarket line. I mean, any place you are already divinely worthy. You are already divinely connected, whether you feel like it or accept it or not. I think it's just a fact, because we're human beings. We have a spark of the divine in us. So if we start with, well, what we would begin with really would be the holy breath. So in these five steps, and the holy breath simply is wherever you are, and it's not conspicuous at all. You breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And as you're breathing in, you are envisioning breathing in all the positive divine light. And we'll talk a little bit later about choosing which color, because I think that that is a useful thing as well. But yes, we breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. And if you can manage to do this two or three times, wherever you are, you have actually cleared some access. You envision it as taking the static out of a line, if you have a, or tuning in your radio. Say, who's ever managed to tune in the radio to listen to your show, Dolores, is able to, they had to tune out other static and tune in to get this station sharply. That's exactly what you're doing when you're breathing. If you can tune in a radio, if you can flip a channel on a television, you can tune in clearly. And so with the holy breath, and I call this the holy breath. So in through the nose,
out. But you know, Irene,
yeah,
to me it sounds like the yoga breathing.
You know, Doris, I have to be honest. I've never been able to do yoga, but other people have told me.
I don't do the exercises, but I do work a lot with the swamis in the ashrams. I speak at a lot of ashrams all over the world, and whenever they're talking about practicing just the breathing part, that's what they say. You know, just breathe in through the nose. You use the diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't breathe with their diaphragm, you know, just filling up the whole lungs with the breath through the nose, holding it for a few seconds, and then releasing it slowly through the mouth. So it sounds like the same thing. It is a cleansing breath that they use.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. And a cleansing breath, and what I would call also a tuning in breath as well. And if you can do that two or three times, you know, I'm hoping always that someone can do it at least three times wherever they are. But again, just as you described, I'm sure it has to be universal. The spirit has guided us to breathe, and I think in all spiritual practices, the breathing practice is a foundation, isn't it, Dolores? Is it?
I think so. Especially with these, the ones that I work with the yoga, you know, are very much into that. But like I think also you said, like you breathe in the good and then you breathe out, not the bad, the negative, you breathe out whatever you want to get rid of. Is that the way you do it?
I would say exactly. I would say you breathe in spirit, the divine, any positive energy that you can consider. And when we go further, we'll say you'll be breathing in a certain light. And you breathe out all that does not serve. And the thing is, you don't even really need to know what that is. You just need to, make an internal commitment. All that does not serve me, I breathe out at this time. Your body.
Yeah, we always say everything that is not for the highest good.
Exactly so. Exactly so. And we rely on our body intelligence because it knows something, you know.
A lot more than we do.
Oh, yeah. But like what you said, that's the second part is the holy breath.
That's the first.
Well, first is find your sacred place.
That's right,
well,
the
order is a little bit less important. I think wherever you happen to be, and I like to use the, it'd be wonderful if you have a time and a place where this can be done regularly. But the practical application is really what I am looking for. It's the easy access, the quick results with the divine. And so I like to use the example as if you are in a supermarket line, you know. And so you do the holy breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth, breathing in all that is positive or divine, breathing out all that does not serve. And the thing is, you can do this holding, you know, two milks and a loaf of bread. you know, it's very inconspicuous, and you don't, and how to say, by virtue of your intention, you are now creating a holy space. And so the next is you clear and you create your own sacred space. Well, the way that I have found is a very practical and a very functional way is to, in my case, to call forth Saint Germain and ask Saint Germain, to the Holy Master, to send a tube of purple light around me. Wherever I am, whatever I am doing, I am now within, and it is just that simple. Saint Germain, I invite you to send me a tube of purple sacred light. And you're continuing to breathe, and now you are standing in this tube of light, which makes wherever you are a sacred space.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what would he represent? What would the purple light represent? You know?
The purple light represents the transformation of all that is negative into the divine positive.
Okay.
So that, well, go ahead.
One thing in the book I've noticed, you have, what is there? There's just all these chapters about the different lights, the different colors, and the different masters that the color represents. They're all for different things that you want to create in your life. But,
yes.
But that's what I mean. She's going over into that. Mm-hmm. But so as part of these five steps, you have to know which color you want to call in or which...
it is a useful thing.
Yeah.
I think that in the course of breathing, I think when you start the breath and you know, sort of declare, create your sacred space, at that point, I think it may become clear which color. Now, I also want to emphasize that this is not in any way religious per se, but spiritual.
Okay.
And accessing spirit versus an organized religion with rules. So we breathe. We have created our sacred space with Saint Germain and this transformational purple light. That's why I love the name of your conference.
Because
that's exactly what it is. It's a transformational light. And so the next thing we do, so that's two. The first step, the holy breath, you clear and create your sacred space. The next thing would be to focus and find your clarity of intention. What is it that your heart desires? You know, it may be something as simple as finding a parking space at your child's school in time to pick him up, get home, and get dinner. You know, it could be that. It could be something as profound as a very deep healing. It could be something, you know, my heart desires to meet the love of my life. All miracles are equal in the eyes of spirit. So whatever a person's heart desire is, then that is the request. So having determined your clarity of intention now. So, Dolores, let's pick an example. What would you choose as an example?
Well, I was thinking if somebody wanted a certain job, I get a lot of clients who were at crossroads wanting to change careers and things.
Okay, so that would be, see, that's a perfect one, and that's so, particularly in the times that we're in. excuse me, so you're standing in the supermarket line and you are thinking about you need a miracle because you need a job. So we ask for, you know, Dolores, that could be green for clarity of intention, and that would be in that case, or excuse me, for abundance, and that would be Archangel Raphael with the healing green ray.
Mm-hmm.
And the green light that would envelop you, and you would breathe it in, and then the work begins. from the Holy Master, and the light does the work. You simply allow. It could be for clarity of intention, and in that case, a clarity of intention would be Archangel Uriel. And it happens right now. We're talking about the archangels. We have Jesus, Buddha, Lady Kuan Yin, the goddess Anarashiya. And that
the different ascended masters, too. Yeah.
All the ascended masters. All the ascended masters. And so, you know, there's a word I never knew how to say. Is it mauve, the color mauve, or mauve?
That's how I say it.
The mauve ray. And in that case, that would be the mauve ray with Archangel Uriel for clarity
and
attention.
It's a kind of a purple, I think, only a different kind of purple.
It's a pinkish
mauve,
purple.
It's a light, like burgundy, yeah, a light one.
Yeah.
So we're looking for a job. Now the question is, do I know what career path I'm looking towards? Maybe the miracle I'm seeking today is the clarity of intention. Is it more beneficial? Would it bring me more joy and benefit my highest good to go down path A, or would it be better to change careers altogether and go down path B? And so if that's it, maybe that's the place to begin. And I too have had healing sessions with people who come with that question, and we usually start, unless they have a very good idea of what they like, we usually start with a clarity of intention. So in this case, we've done the holy breath, we have created our sacred space, and all of this taken less than 60 seconds, you know. Now we are looking, in this case, for a job. So our heart's desire, our intention is a job. How do we get there? Well, in this case, maybe it would be beneficial to invite Archangel Uriel, the Mauve Ray, which is for the clarity of intention. Use that meditation and breathe in the mauve light. And what will happen is Archangel Uriel will come to you and begin infusing that light into you with your breath and through you. And often that light will come through the top of your head, sometimes through the shoulders, and it will begin to move. And in these meditations, the request that we have from the Ascended Masters and the Holy Masters and the Archangels is, we must give them permission. I give my permission to Archangel Uriel to use the mauve ray for clarity of intention. In my all four bodies, mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And so we get that far, and then we continue to breathe and just allow that to happen. And what happens is those healing rays each actually alter the DNA. If we envision that the healing ray goes in our body and is delighted to meet, you know, radiant cells and greets them, that's wonderful. And then, you know, the holy masters, ascended masters will continue to guide that light and maybe meet those cells that have been disheartened, discouraged, confused, resistant, maybe a little bit darkened. And just think of it sort of like a little Brillo pad, you know, ties everything up and moves on. And so, there we are. So that's number four. You invite and envision.
That's one thing I want to bring up, too, that I've discovered. You know, none of these can ever do anything without you asking. You must always ask them to do it, because they cannot go against your free will. They can't just come in and make something happen. You have to invite it. You have to ask them to do it for you.
You know, that's such an excellent and such an important point. You know, each of us is the creator, each of us is the initiator, and each of us has to make the request. They are constantly waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
You know, and
they said if we won't have anyone to assist unless you ask us to assist you.
That's exactly right. They await our permission and our invitation. And you see, that's you know, as my daddy would have said, we've hit the nail on the head here, you know. we must make the request. And when I do workshops, I often will compare it to going into to being famished and going into a restaurant, and you do not turn to the server and say, "Well, bring me food." You know, you will ask very specifically, "It is my heart's desire to have," and then you order sort of off the divine menu there. But yes, but you must invite. You must invite, and you must give permission. And then the final step is the gratitude and attention to everything around you. Is the answer going to come in a song? Is somebody going to pick up the phone and say, "You know, I was thinking about you, and did you ever think about thus and such?" Or, you know, a myriad of ways that we cannot imagine. That's where the miracle lies. And so in this case, you're the person who's looking for the job and maybe trying to decide, is it more appropriate to, you know, take this path, say an administrative path or a research path, for instance, which is where does my joy live? And the miracle is, let it, you know, this will be revealed. And maybe that person will get some kind of an invitation to have lunch with someone, will go, you know, have an experience which will show him that, you know, one is either delightful or abhorrent to him or her. And
well, you know, like you know what I always say, too, is once you know what it is you want, you release it. You don't try to direct it.
No.
I want it to happen this way and that way, because it'll happen in ways you can never, ever imagine.
In extraordinary ways, absolutely true. And that is where we get to the part where we simply allow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the request from Spirit and from the Ascended Masters is just let them do their job.
Yeah.
Let them do their job. When you control it, you diminish it. And
yeah.
You sort of spoil it. So, excuse me. Yes, exactly so. We have to just allow it and be grateful
yeah,
for it.
Yeah, you don't want to say, I got to do this and this in order to make it happen. You just release it.
You release it, exactly. And in this case, it wouldn't be, I have to work at this company. It would be, my heart desires a job that will bring me, you know, abundance, joy, creativity, mm-hmm. support, admiration. And not necessarily from that company. There are companies you don't know about, you know.
Yeah,
so.
And then just be open to what comes in. So.
Well, I found two rules, though, that apply to this that I think are very important that you must not break. One of them, you never try to create anything that's going to harm anyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
And you never want to create anything that's going to take away from anyone else. So when you're thinking about a job, you don't want to think, I want that person's job, because that's negative and that creates karma.
Very negative karma.
Those
yeah.
are two things. You never want to do anything that's going to hurt anyone or take away. Then you allow it, and it has to happen.
Oh, it absolutely has to happen. And we lose the idea then of what we call zero sum, which is, you know, if you have yours, I can't have mine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's,
mm-hmm.
but I agree, Dolores, there are, I may have misstated earlier, Spirit has some very firm rules. You know, is where I said that this is a spiritual book and not a religious book. And, you know, religions
mm-hmm.
all have their own rules. But I will say Spirit has rules, and they, they're exactly as you described, as Gandhi said, do no harm. You know,
yes.
Which to me also translates into do unto others. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're so basic of love, harmony, respect. Yes, I agree completely. Spirit does not respond to anything that would be a negative energy towards anybody else or would result in any negativity towards anybody else. That doesn't work at all.
And that's not good karma anyway, to want to create anything like that.
No, it's not. I would not like to be on the receiving end of the...
anything like that.
You know, I don't think so. I try to be a pretty careful girl, I will tell you.
Yeah. We don't want it coming back on you, and it will
no.
come back.
No, it definitely will. I
then you had the one. You had one last thing there that I always say too is very important: is you always thank them.
Oh yes.
Sometimes you thank them before it even happens because you know in your heart
you give
that
gratitude
it is going to happen, and that's the belief mm-hmm. system. So you thank them for it, and they love to be thanked.
You know, they are delighted, and they in turn are very grateful. But I always say the attitude of gratitude is a prayer in itself. Also, I always want to point out that in terms of using these holy rays, in terms of approaching the ascended masters, angels and archangels, we do not need to be in possession of mountains of faith, of tremendous spiritual experience. All we need is to be willing to be willing. That's all. Just a willing, authentic heart does not need, you know, this stunning amount of faith or much more than a shred of faith, because a willing and authentic heart all by itself is a lot of faith right there. And I think a lot of people don't credit themselves with how worthy they are. You know, this is the other thing we need to overcome, of course, is the sense of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. Right, worthiness.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But if you thank them, even though it hasn't happened yet, mm-hmm. then it must happen because this is one of the laws of creation.
That's exactly so. Well, you know, of course, I mean, the universe gets its instructions from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
I think when we say
it's random.
Yeah.
It's random. They can pick anything.
Yeah, that's a lot less fun. You know, I think when we offer the gratitude ahead of time, and that's why I enjoy the idea of scripting. And you don't even have to sit down and write. I mean, just, you know, thank you for the unfolding of these wonderful things that are going to happen today. And you can enumerate them, be specific about them. But the attitude of gratitude offers instructions to the universe, which the universe is listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's my opinion. I'm pretty sure. What do you think, Dolores?
Well, we know, you know,
yeah.
We've been doing this for many years in our own way, and we know it works. Of course, there's a belief system in there, too. We said we put it out, and then we just sit back and watch the magic.
Exactly. Exactly. And how fun is that? Boy, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We never know how it's going to happen, and that's the magic.
That's so
but
true.
In your book here, you go into all the different colors
mm-hmm.
and what the colors are used for mm-hmm. and how they're connected with the different masters and the different angels. So each one has a different purpose, doesn't it? Each color?
Each color has a different purpose and a different intention. And so, for instance, if you are looking for creativity, in that case, you would choose the orange ray. The color, the orange light enhances and brings forward your own creativity. And that is guided, as it happens, by Archangel Jophiel, the Archangel of Illumination. Divine intervention. You know, sometimes you look and you see it's going to take a miracle to get through this, you know. Then in that case, that's Lady Kuan Yin, the divine goddess of mercy, compassion, and charity, and the peach ray, and you use that peach color and the peach ray, which she will guide and keep with you, and she will stay with you, and that's the color of divine intervention. And I always suggest also that when in terms when we're using these colors is to find something, even if it's a little piece of colored paper, to put in our pocket to keep us conscious and alert of the color. You know, and if you have some garment, some dress or some shirt of that color, all the better.
Okay. Well, which is the one for healing? If people want, you know, they're sick. I see a lot of people like that. What would be the color for that?
You know, the color for healing, again, that is Archangel Raphael, who is the Archangel of Planetary and Personal Healing. And that would be the jade green ray of internal and external injuries. And so that is, the colors are subtle. And so, you know, you have the brilliant emerald ray for abundance and the deep jade green ray for internal and external injuries. Now, those are for physical injuries. For depression, we have a different color and a different healing master for what we call the leaking, or what spirit calls, in the same way if you cut yourself and you bleed, we are also subject to leaking of our own energies because of, how to say, the slings and arrows of the world that we live in. And again, okay, that would be a different color with a different master. You might use the sky blue ray with Archangel Michael.
Okay. But one thing, you would be surprised, the hour has gone already.
Mm-hmm. It's slow.
It's amazing.
No?
It goes so quick. But I just want to tell everybody that in the book, 30 Miracles in 30 Days, she says 5 steps to unlimited abundance if you follow her instructions. But in there is listed all of the masters, the archangels, mm-hmm, and what each one represents, and the colors, so you can come familiar to that and begin to draw those in. So it's all listed in the book, everything
step by
you
step
need.
Step-by-step procedure for everything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And there's also a CD in the book, too. And the CD has to do with meditations, isn't that what it is?
You know, it is. It's just a very brief introduction, which is probably about 2 minutes, and then another couple of minutes describing the 5 steps. And then we recorded, or I recorded the 5 of the meditations, which I thought would be, how to say, the most useful or at this time, which were success reactivation with the indigo ray, joy with the yellow,
mm-hmm,
the physical healing with the jade green, the healing of depression with the dark pink, and Abundance Unlimited, of course, with the emerald green. And those, you know, people can listen to in the car, in the CD, when you're in bed, in a bubble bath. I mean, just anywhere where you have a minute or two, you know.
Okay. So, but Irene also does workshops and classes. Irene, if they want to contact you, how do you want them to do it?
I think probably my website, which is www.theuniverseislistening.com.
That's all together? That's all in one,
it's,
one
it's
word?
It's all one long word, the universe is listening.
The universe is listening.
It'll come to me.
Yeah, theuniverseislistening.com. And that's Irene Lucas. So if anybody wants to contact her, check in the website, and
yeah,
you'll have more about her. And Irene will be a speaker at our conference in June here in the Rogers, Arkansas. So I think we're coming down to the end now here anyway. Okay. It went very, very fast. But I do want to make one last remark before they pull the plug on us. I'm going to have 2 classes of my own in April. And people are signing up for those. One is going to be here in Fayetteville, Arkansas, the middle of April. And then right after that, I'm going to San Diego, California for a class there. If anyone is interested, contact our website or call the office to get more information. And our website is the abbreviation for Ozark Mountain Publishing, OZARKMT.com. Or if you want to know about the conference, too, or to get tickets, you can call our 800 number, 1-800-935-0045. So I think it's time to sign off now.
Oh, and Irene, that was wonderful information. Thank you so much.
Oh, what a delight to be on your show. Thank you so much for the invitation. And also, I have to tell you, I have been looking on your website at the other speakers, and I'm so excited to see what everyone else has to share. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to thank everyone for listening in tonight. And so good night, everybody.